On the Yankee Station. Adapted from his short story by William Boyd. With Peter Whitman as Lydecker and Keith Edwards as Fitz.
Lydecker? Lydecker!
Where in hell is that scumbag?
I'll go get him, sir.
Lydecker, get your ass over here, man!
Yes, sir. Coming.
What is it, sir?
Now, Lydecker, can you tell me what that is?
That?
Got it in one, dummy.
Well, it's a cannon, sir.
Well, if it's a cannon, what's all that crud doing around the breach?
Excuse me, Lieutenant Fitz, sir, but I wasn't loading today.
Don't hand me that bull, Lydecker. I told you before, I don't like a man who can't admit he's done wrong. Sure as hell, that cannon's gonna misfire like that.
No, sir. I don't think so, sir. It's just grease, that's all. No way you're gonna have problems with the cannon on a new plane, sir. I'm sure everything will be okay.
I don't give a rat's rump what you're sure of, Lydecker. You're on a charge when I get back.
Please, sir. Why a charge? What'd I do?
You're on a charge because I'm putting you on one, Lydecker. That's all you need to know, boy. But I'll tell you why. Why? Because every ground crew's got its asshole, Lydecker, and ours is you. Because you're the son of a bitch trying to foul me up on my first mission. Because you're the son of a bitch meant to strip this plane down last night, numbnuts. Thought I wouldn't check it out, huh? You can't leave that kind of grease on a cannon, you stupid dumb puke. I know you're kind, boy. And I don't like it one bit. You shape up around me or it's your ass in a sling, yeah?
I told you, sir, I didn't do no arming. I was fueling today.
Plug it, Lydecker. I don't like to hear a man with that kind of whine in his voice. Dismissed, boy. Dismissed.
I never went anywhere near Fitz's goddamn cannon. It was Cooper loading shells that day, but it didn't make no difference to Fitz. It was a new Phantom, flown over from Guam 3 days before. Fitz was like a kid with a new toy, but it didn't stop him riding me. All of this happened on the USS Chester B. Halsey, fleet carrier. We were on the Yankee Station, the South China Sea off of North Vietnam. Fitz had just arrived on the carrier. I was assigned to his ground crew. Right from the start, it went wrong.
Cooper?
Yo.
You a Southern boy?
Sure am, sir. Fayette County, Alabama.
Well, good to have you along, Cooper. Pasquale?
Yes, sir.
Lydecker?
Excuse me, sir. That's Lydecker, sir.
What?
Lydecker, sir. You pronounce... It don't matter, no, sir.
You're damn right it doesn't, boy. Lydecker, Lydorker, I'll call you what a damn well want. Okay, scumbag? You got that straight, scumbag?
Yes, sir, I have.
Well, good. Good. Now, if Seaman Scumbag doesn't object, we'll get right to work on this plane. I want her off on the first mission Saturday.
Yes, sir. I remember that day. We worked our nuts off on that plane getting her ready. And we did. That Saturday was good and clear. The sun was high up in the sky. The Chester B was steaming along, got all the planes lined up on the flight deck. Everything was okay. Fitz was third in line. The Phantom was looking good, all gleaming and new. Got the bombs on, the works. Then Fitz puts me on a charge. I guess he was kind of nervy. But he didn't have no call to do it. Anyways, that was the second charge he put me on in 3 days. Still, I didn't really care then. I stood back by the island watching the catapult launch. The Chester B turns into the wind and the first two planes on the mission are launched. Then it's Fitz's turn. Boom! They fire the catapult. Fitz locks into afterburn and he's off. He dips a little as he clears the deck, but then he climbs into the sky. I turn around and I'm about to go below decks when someone shouts, "Hey, look at that for Christ's sake!" We all look up and there's Fitz. He's bailed out, hanging under his orange parachute. I saw his plane fly on for a couple of seconds and then it kind of flipped over on its side and dove into the sea. Yeah. That opened up the whole can of worms, all right. That's when it all began to go wrong. From that day, nothing was the same again.
They give me scum for ground crew, scum! You're all dumb, humping pukes, all of you!
Girls, that's what you are. Just a bunch of girls. What'd you do to my plane, suckers? You better shape up or you can wave the Navy goodbye. You hear me talking, Lidecker?
Yes, sir, yes, I do.
I'll be watching for you, Lidecker. I met your kind before. Troublemaker, mixer. Well, that's what you are, stirring it all up. You sit there all quiet, but I know what's going down, man. I know. Believe me. You listen to me good, Greaseball. You got that, monkey?
Sir.
Hell, that man is mean.
A stupid mothering bastard. Why in hell did he bail out? That's what I want to know.
He says he's got engine malfunction.
Blow it out your ear, man. The plane kept right on going after he ejected.
I'm only telling what's going round, man.
Well, he sure as hell scares the pants off of me. Man, is he ticked off?
Yeah, what in God's name you ever do to him, Lidecker?
Me? Well, nothing for Christ's sake. Hey, you know that man. I just try to keep myself from getting screwed by that sucker.
Oh, yeah? So how come he hates you so much? How come he's always dumping on you?
Well, I don't know. You think he hates me?
Well, you sure ain't flavor of the month, Lidecker.
I can see Fitz now. Big mother. Kind of going to fat. Tall. Thick neck with creases on the back. Short blonde hair, puffy beer-fat face. Always bad-mouthing me every chance he got. Had me on report twice in the week after his plane crashed, and we weren't even flying missions. He had nothing to do. Everybody laughing at him behind his back, and he was just burning up with anger. So he'd just hang around. Beat up on the crew. Beating up on me. Anyways, the fact is, it didn't bother me too much then. Getting on report. Charges. Scrubbing latrines, painting bulkheads. I've been getting that ball of wax all my life. Ever since I can remember. So when Fitz started dumping on me, I thought, okay. So, don't stop. Here we are again, if you know what I mean. I guess I figured it would end once he got his new plane. But I was wrong. It got worse. You see, the brass, they didn't give him another Phantom. I don't know why. I guess they kind of wanted to punish him for wiping out his first one before it had even flown one mission. So they gave him a Crusader. An old Crusader that they had below decks. Looked like it had been used in Korea. I know it shamed Fitz. More almost than having to bail out again. Every time he took that airplane up, it reminded him of the new Phantom he'd lost. How he'd only had it in the air for 10 seconds. Like a permanent reminder of the day he crashed.
What goes on, Pasquale?
What's it look like, Dumbbell?
Like you're painting something on a plane, for Christ's sake. What the hell is it?
Yeah, well, it's Fireball Fitz's latest idea, ain't it? He told me to paint this on under the cockpit seal. Every time he flies on a napalm mission, from now on, I gotta paint on a rose.
A rose?
Got it in one.
Jesus, that's weird.
Yeah, the man is out of his box, totally. But wait on. I gotta paint on a name, too. Get this. The Rose Train.
The napalm missions? Well, what's with this napalm and roses kick? I still don't get it.
Christ, Lidecker. Where you been living, man? What's the last three... No, four missions we done?
Napalm, I guess. Yeah, it's been nape all the way.
No, see, I heard Fitz talking to the duty officer last week, and I heard him say that he only wants to run napalm from now on. All the time, just napalm. No bombs, just good old napalm.
But why?
Why, because he's got his brains in his neck, that is why. Ain't you heard? He wants to fry all the gooks in Vietnam. He likes napalm, because that way he gets to see the damage better. All the flames and smoke. He likes that. He likes to see those villages burning.
Lidecker! Over here!
Sir?
Mr. Wrench Lidecker?
Could I see it, sir? Yes, sir, it is.
Found it in the fore undercarriage bay, Lidecker.
Sir, I never...
In fact, I found it jammed in the bay, Lidecker. You just leave your tools lying around every which way, Lidecker? Figured you might forget to pick it up, babe boy?
Some goddamn wrench of yours decked my Phantom for sure.
Excuse me, sir. It's Cooper.
Don't give me that bad crap, Lidecker.
Sir, Cooper borrowed that
wrench. Shut your mouth, Lidecker. Shut your mouth, you jerk off. I'll tell you what you are, Lidecker. You're a jerk off. I got a jerk off on my crew trying to total my plane.
No, sir.
Shut it, Lidecker. I'm talking to you. Tell him what you are, boy. A jerk off. Got it?
Sir, please.
I asked you if you got it, Lidecker. Now, what are you? You tell it to me, Lidecker. You're a jerk off, you sucker. Mean Yankee jerk off. But I want to hear it from you, Lidecker. You tell me what you are.
Jerkoff.
Louder, boy.
I'm a jerkoff.
Shout it, Lidecker. I don't think Pasquale and Cooper can hear what you got to say. Let's hear it loud and clear.
I'm a jerkoff.
Louder, Lidecker. Fill the goddamn hangar with the news. Tell it to the world, sucker. Tell it to the world.
I'm a jerkoff.
Again!
I'm a jerkoff.
Again, man, again. Tell us who you are, Lidecker.
I'm a jerkoff. My name is Lidecker, and I'm a jerkoff.
Again, Lidecker.
My name is Lidecker, and I'm a jerkoff.
What are you? I'm a jerkoff.
Fitz. Always riding me. Riding me all the time. Man, he was burning up. Like it seemed he only got happy when he was dumping on me or dropping nape on the dinks. He only carried napalm on the Crusader. Like Pasquale said, every mission. He liked to see the fireballs, he said. He liked to see the vills blazing.
Man, it's a beautiful sight, Cooper.
Sir?
Beautiful, I tell you. The nape, man, the nape. It's like roses.
Roses, sir?
Yeah, like roses in the jungle. You power in over them dink huts. You see those gooks scatter. They know we're coming, and boy, do they haul ass. Then the nape canisters go down, tumbling slowly, kind of lazy end over end, like throwing a stick. Then bang! Boom! One mother and great orange rose. Like a giant rose blooming in the jungle. Cooper. Hell, it's a sight.
Yes, sir, I guess so.
Thing was, the more roses got painted on his plane, he still didn't forget me. Seemed like I was spending my whole life on that sucking report. Fitz was always finding something wrong. He never stopped. Only thing that kept me going was the fact that I hated him so bad. The worse it got, the more I'd hate. I hated my father. I hated Werbel, the manager of the filling station where I worked before I got drafted. I hated them real bad. But with Fitz, I really went over the cliff. If I've discovered one thing in my life, it's that if you really hate someone, like really despise them, you know? Like so it gives you a pain in the gut. Well, that way they can never totally get you. And it really screws things for them, too. They're dumping this load on you, and all they're getting back is hate. Ain't nothing they can do about it. And that sucks, man. That really sucks. Now, Fitz could see that with me, but he just kept right on trying. Hell, the only thing that gave me any kind of relief was the plane. The Crusader. It's an old plane. Navy are taking it out of service soon, but it's big and solid, like a bus. Big, strong-looking plane. My first posting was to a 6th Fleet carrier where they had a squadron of Crusaders. I got to like them. It's funny how you can get to feel something and get to like a machine, like it's got a character, you know? I'd been all over Fitz's plane since he got it, inside and out, every inch. Nobody knew Fitz's Crusader better than I did. I guess that was the only good thing that came out of Fitz hitting the silk that day. I got to work on a Crusader again. I used to work on the plane a lot. Working on it all the time. I liked to be with the plane better than sitting around with the other guys in the mess. I used to go up to the below deck hangar on my own at night and just hang around. Until that time Fitz found me. One day, he was coming into land after a mission. But as he made his approach run, he sucked a seabird into his engine intake. scared the hell out of him, and he pulled off his landing approach and came around a second time. It can cause trouble, that sort of accident, jam up the compressor blades on the engines. But on Navy planes, they're all fitted with a kind of fine wire mesh grill just down the intake to protect the jets. Well, anyhow, Fitz nearly scarfed up his second landing, but he got down okay. When he opened his canopy, everyone was laughing and jeering. I heard one guy shout, "Hey, why didn't you eject, Fitz?" Man, I thought he was going to wet his pants. Boy, was he steaming. Yeah, he was all fired up, looking to bust someone's ass. I kept right out of his way. Trouble was, that night I didn't feel too good. I've been getting these stinking headaches. So I thought I had to get out, go on up to the hangar, let my head clear some. I go into the hangar. It's cool and dark. Nobody around. It's all quiet with a kind of peaceful blue light. I walk down the two rows of parked jets, the Phantoms and the Skyhawks, towards the Crusader. It was like seeing someone you know. Well, I went up to the Crusader and my face was all hot. And I just kind of pressed my face against the cool metal, just touched my cheeks and forehead to the aluminum. It was cold. I stood there for a while like that, just letting myself get back together. I liked the smell in that place. The metal smell, the lubricants, the coolants, the gasoline. I was standing there by the plane when I got to thinking about the bird that morning. I knew the crew wouldn't have cleaned it up proper, so I stuck my head into the intake to have a look. The Crusader's only got one intake, a big one just below the radar nose cone. It looks kind of like a big wide-open mouth. The wire grill was too far down for me to reach, so without thinking about it, I just crawled in. It was the only way I could reach. It was a tight fit, but as I'm not such a big guy, I made it okay. Sure enough, they hadn't cleaned up too good. I could feel bits of feathers and stuff sticking to the wire. I felt along the grill and started picking it off. I was all hunched up, like I was in the throat of the plane. I felt sort of good. I was inside it, and I could feel it all around me, against my back and my sides, the cool metal pressing against me, above my head, all around me. I don't know how long I was there. I was picking off the bits of fluff and feather, and my nails were making small plinking noises on the wire mesh. But then I heard voices. When I heard Fitz's laugh, I thought I was going to die. I got out of the intake as quickly as I could. It was Fitz and two other officers. They were laughing and talking, moving slowly up the hangar towards the plane and drinking beer out of cans.
Hey, what the hell? Ho! You there, Sanders, stop! You here, stop! What the hell gives here?
I'm sorry, sir. There's nothing going on, sir.
Lidecker? What the... Just what's going on here, Lidecker? You know you're way off limits, Lidecker, way off. What you been doing to my plane, boy? You ain't been fixing one of your smart-ass tricks on my plane, have you, Lidecker? Because if you have, you're dead. You messing with me again, Lidecker?
No, sir. I've been cleaning the intake, sir. You know, from the bird this afternoon.
Yeah, Larry. He's just cleaning up the mess you made of that poor little birdie.
You got it, Larry. He doesn't want you to wipe out another plane.
Lidecker, you come over here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you come over here with me a little way. You done it, Lidecker. Done it now for sure. You deep sixed yourself. Now you better just get out of my way. Got that, scumbag? Get away and keep away. You here, boy? Because I'm going to come looking for you, Lidecker, and then I'm going to take you off at the knees, Weasel. You're going to look like 10 miles of bad road when I finish with you, sucker. I don't ever want to see your stinking mother of a face around my plane again. You're off my crew starting from now, so get the hell out. Get out, I said move. You're transferred from now, understand? Don't show up tomorrow, boy. Don't ever come near a plane of mine again. I said move, sucker. And that doesn't mean walk. Run, you bastard, run. Don't look at me like that, Weasel. Get your ass out of my sight. I gotta help you on your way.
Hey, great shot, Larry. You got him.
Hell of a waste of good beer, man.
Yeah. Fits through his friggin' beer can. Goddamn college kids laughing and hollering like it was some kind of game. Threw his beer can at me. Like I was some dog messing with his chickens. Some crow eating his corn. Beer can.
I got a bruise. I got a small cut above my eye.
Them bastards laughing and joshing. Oh, bastard. You mean bastard. Like I was some pie dog in his yard and his redneck friend sitting around on the porch hefting cans for a laugh.
I don't know why, but when I got to my feet, I went and picked up that beer can. I don't rightly know why I did it. I wasn't thinking about anything, just kind of automatically went and fetched it. Something made me want to pick it up. So I did. And I kept it. I kept it. I put it on the shelf above my bunk so I could see it every day. You see, I didn't want to forget about that hog bastard. I was deserted after that night in the hangar. Every time I looked at that beer can, I saw Fitz's big, ugly face. Heard his voice. Heard him cussing me clear as if I was still standing there smelling the beer on his voice, see the sweat on his fat hog face. I tell you, it was like a shot of dope when I saw that can. I'd see it and I'd feel my... I could feel my heart beating and pounding my head. Oh, God, I hated that man so much I could hardly stand from the strain. But that was good. I liked that. I was glad. It made me feel real good. And I didn't ever want that feeling to go away. But then the bastard went and did like he said. Got me transferred.
Hey! Hey, Lidecker! How's it going, my man?
What? Over here!
Catapult launch crew? How's the launch crew? Can you hack it?
Kidding. Can't you see what it's like out there, Cooper? It's the pits, man. It really sucks.
Yeah, looks like no party, right? Too bad, man. Just thought I'd check you out. One thing's for sure. Fitz is in a whole lot better mood since you split. Anyway, see you around, okay? Keep on keeping on, right?
Hey, Coop, you got a minute?
Make it short one.
How's it all going since Fitz, the crew, and the plane? How's the plane?
The plane's just fine, Lidecker. I send your regards. Hell, man, we don't need you to keep that old bus in the air, you know?
Yeah, sure. I know that, but I thought maybe... If you ask Fitz, I thought, like, you know, there might be a chance I could get back on the crew. Oh, God, cool. This launch, it's a killer.
No way, man, forget it. Fist don't give a sick dog's dump for you. You just gotta stay out of his way. It's the best thing I can tell you. Best for all of us, and sure as hell best for you.
Catapult maintenance crew. The worst detail on the ship. Fitz had had me transferred there the next day, just like he said. You launch the planes. You can't talk, you just hear the jets screaming. You get knocked over from the wind. You'd go stone deaf in 1 minute, so they give you these huge padded helmets to wear that make you look like some insect-headed alien. On the Chester B, we had steam catapults. Set in the deck at the front of the carrier, there's an indented track about 100 feet long and 3 inches wide. Sticking out of this is the towing block. It's about 18 inches tall and shaped like a shark's fin. My new job on the launch crew was to loop the towing strop, a thick wire cable, over the block and shackle both ends to the plane. Then they raise the blast deflectors behind the plane, the pilot puts his jets on full afterburn, the catapult officer gives the okay, and they fire the catapult. Wham! The towing block drags the plane along the deck, reaches the end, and flips out in front of the ship and splashes into the sea. Then the next plane rolls into position, and you gotta get a new cable as the towing block is returned to the beginning of the catapult track. And that's how it goes. On and on. You don't speak to nobody on cat maintenance crew. You just get on with the job. You run around with these mothering cables all covered in grease. You bending under the planes, you hear a roaring in your ears. You loop the cable, shackle the ends, they fire the catapults, you do it again, and again. On the Yankee station, we're flying missions all day long. You go off duty, fall into your bunk, you get up, and you start busting your ass all over again. I'm a mechanic. I'm a good one. When Fitz took me away from the plane, he took away the only thing I cared about that was important to me. Cat maintenance crew's no place for a mechanic. It's for the bird brains, the toads, the numbnuts, the guys who can't count their fingers. After 1 week of that, I was out of my mind. What was worse was that the catapults in the Chester B were old, always falling apart. Nearly every day you'd get some friggin' malfunction. Steam pressure falling, gauges busting. Then we'd have to take them apart, strip them down, working all hours so as the morning missions could get off, okay? They were bad days for me. Everything was going wrong for me. I liked the Navy, you see. And I never really thought much about the war. I wasn't for it, but I wasn't against it neither. I was just kind of happy that for the first time in my life, things had turned out okay. I had a good job. I liked working on the planes. After home, it seemed like some kind of paradise, I tell you. But then Fitz showed. And everything fouled up from that day on in. I kept seeing him, too. And I guess that was part of the problem. I'd shackle his plane to the towing block every time he flew a mission. Fireball Fitz and the Rose Train. Napalm, every mission. Still flying napalm, that old Crusader weighed down with them fat, mean-looking canisters, looked like tin cigars. We're cruising up and down on the Yankee station, just over the horizon's Vietnam, and every day we're sending up dozens and dozens of jets to bomb the hell out of people. Day in, day out, weekends and all. Didn't take me too long to realize that I had to get out for a while. I was over the cliff for sure. My head was getting so bad. I took some shore leave that was owing me. Rest and recreation, they call it. I got a week. I just knew I had to get off that ship. I had to get away from Fitz.
Where are you going, Lydica?
Well, hell, I don't know. I kind of thought I'd go to Saigon.
Saigon? Why are you going there? Everybody goes to Tokyo or Bangkok. Now, there's a place for R&R, I hear. Rinky-tink pussy there, Lydica. Cheaper than 10-cent beer. Yeah, that's the town for me. Dude I know went to Manila and got himself a dose. So he got dusted off and sent stateside, because nobody had never seen what was going on with his schlong. Now, that's what I call a real neat trick, Lydica. You take your ass to Manila, catch yourself a dose, and maybe you'll get sent back to the world. But Saigon? That's Vietnam. They're fighting a war there, didn't you know?
I went to Saigon. It was okay. I felt good there. You walk around in your uniform, you feel like you're kind of in control. Sure, nobody likes you, but they're scared as hell. I was different anyway. Made a change. And boy, did I need a change. I spent all my time in this Tudo bar. They had half a dozen bar girls, and I would just sit there and drink beer, smoke some smokes, and every now and then I'd take one of the girls out to a room they had at the back. I began to feel good. I began to forget. Forget Fitz and all the crud that had been coming down. All the shouting, all the bad-mouthing, all the charges and reports. Yeah, I was a big tough guy in Saigon. John Wayne and Iran, you know, talking to the other grunts, telling me about their combat stories. And those bar girls, man, they looked like comic book whores. About a ton of makeup, big false eyelashes and wigs, padded brassieres. God, it's kind of freaky.
Hello, G.I. I like G.I. G.I. goddamn number one. V.C. number 10. You come with me, G.I.
Hell. I didn't take too much persuading, I could tell you. It wasn't until the third day of my shore leave that I got to notice this other girl. She was kind of small and thin. She didn't wear American clothes like the other whores. She had a kind of long, very white shirt thing in one of them wraparound skirts. They call them audais. She cleaned the tables and the rooms, but she didn't seem to go with men. She never spoke, never smiled. She was kind of apart from it all. Sort of dignified, if you know what I mean. But the others, the girls, the pimps, they treated her worse than a dog. It's funny how you don't notice someone at first, then you start seeing them all the time. Well, it was like that with this girl. Suddenly it seemed like every time I looked up, she was there. Standing around and serving a drink, mopping tables. I became kind of fascinated by her. Because she was so different, I guess. But she was really treated bad. She got all the lousy details. I'm cleaning out the cans, changing the sheets on the beds, mopping up if someone threw up. But just the same, she was always real neat and clean herself. Always kept that shirt real white. It was weird, because pretty soon I found I couldn't get her out of my head. You know how it is. I just couldn't stop myself thinking about her. I tried other bars, other hookers, but I just kept right on thinking about this chick. The way she was always quiet, keeping to herself, the way she didn't seem to give a rat's rear end for the people around her and the kind of life she had. And she was pretty, too. Like a girl, not like the rotten crotch you saw in the bars. One day in the bar, I got into a sort of a mad beer drunk, and I waited for her in the corridor outside.
Hi. No, don't go away. Hey, baby, come here.
You want me, Gia?
Yeah, you, chicken. I'm gonna hurt you. Yeah. Now, you just put them dirty old sheets down and come to your old friend Aunt Lydecker here. That's right, girl. You put them down.
I got work. I no stop with you.
Drop them on the floor, for Christ's sake. Yeah? You nice girl, yeah? Huh? Beaucoup nice, huh? Relax, baby. Nothing gonna go wrong. Hey. You wanna go short time with me? Huh?
I no do short time, Jai. Plenty other girl do short time. I no do short time. Long time. I no go with Jai no more.
Huh. I got plenty money for a nice little girlie like you. Yeah? Jai number one, huh? Why don't you say something, girl? Stop looking at the ground like that. Here, you look at me, okay? No, not like that, you no good slope chicken. Hey, don't look at me like that, I said. Hey, come on, girl. Huh? Relax. Come on. Huh? Beat it then, you no good dink snatch. Scram! Get back to your friggin' laundry! Hey, barkeep! Look, what gives it that little mama son, huh? Another one? Little girl walks around here in a white shirt. Don't she like you?
Oh, yes, sir. Plenty nice girl here, sir. Beaucoup nice, you see? Number one.
Oh, hell, I know that, man. What about her? The girl, that's what I want to know about.
Oh, she no good. Number 10, she not nice for GI. Look here. Plenty nice girl for you here.
Trouble was, you see, that when I got close to that girl, the look in her eyes almost blew me away. I never seen it quite like that before. Just hating me. Just a kind of pure hate. She didn't say a word, didn't do a thing, just stood there. I've been around long enough to know that a hooker doesn't give a good goddamn for her trick, but at least they make out like they're having a good time. Even the Saigon whores, and they must be the world's worst. But this little chick? God, I'll tell you, you think I'd... Hell, I don't know. I'd eaten her mother and her father and her kid brother and was about to start in on her. Man, it really shook me up. I stayed away from the bar after that, but for some reason, from then on in, it was a real downer. I got a sort of sick feeling inside of me. I felt all tensed up. I guess it was because I was thinking about going back to the Chester B, back to the catapult crew. On my last day, I went back to the bar again. And the girl was there, too, sweeping the floor. Same crisp white shirt and eye-dye. Her hair tied up with a piece of ribbon. I'd been drinking since morning, and I was just about bombed out of my skull.
Hey. Hey, girlie. You. Yeah, you. You're coming with me. Okay, barkeep. One, two, three, four, five. That should cover. Nobody disturbs us, right? Okay. Come on, baby, let's go. Okay, baby. It's just you and me now. I paid, okay? So no messing me around. This deal's strictly business. You got it? So, let's have the clothes off. Please. Look, here. Here's some more money. For you, okay? Just for you. Take it. Go on. Take it. Take it. I don't need it. It's more than you can earn from sweeping floors, yeah? Hey, I'm still biting, huh? You got the money, you gotta do what I want now. Them's the rules, kiddo. That's what the man said, right? Good. That's more like it. Yeah, hey, hold it, girlie. Wait on. Ain't nobody get into Betty Buys before they take off all of their clothes, huh? Savvy? Take all clothes off, yeah? And when I says off, I mean all of it. Now, you take that shirt thing you got on off as well, and maybe we can get started. You understand? You take-y shirt off, too. Like skirt. Oh, hell. Look, take your friggin' blouse off, honey. For all this bread I'm laying down, I want naked.
No, G.I. I no take off.
Oh, you can talk. Hey, now, ain't that something? Now, take your shirt off, too, baby, okay? I ain't got all the time in the world.
No, G.I. Ain't no good. Ain't number 10. You know goddamn like.
Oh, no. You wrong there, girl. I goddamn like. I goddamn like, all right. You just take everything off.
You come now, G.I. You come with me now. It could like this, G.I. Number 1 like this. Buku nice now.
Well, how many times I gotta tell you, I ain't coming nowhere till you get it all off. You're halfway there, baby, so what's the problem? Just get rid of the damn shirt, too, for Christ's sake.
No, wait, number 10. You come now, like so.
Yeah, I'll be there, girl. You bet your sweet ass, but not before you peel that shirt off. Look, you're happy enough to take my friggin' money, so take the shirt off or I'm gonna tear it off.
No, Johnny, please. No good, G.I. It happened like this. Plane come. It happened.
Oh, boom. Stop it.
Boom.
You cut that crap with me, girl. Don't monkey around with me. I'm warning you. Now strip, damn you. You get that shirt off right now, or I'll...
Okay, Johnny, okay. You stop. I take off everything.
Yeah. Nice. There. What was all the fuss about, baby? Hey. You look damn good to me, girl. Damn nice. Ain't got nothing to be ashamed of, I'm telling you. Nothing. Now, you just walk over here to me. Oh, you're smiling now. Hey, you're happy, huh? You see? Oh, Art Lidecker ain't such a red ass after all, is he? You're laughing, too, huh? Hey, what you find so funny, girl, huh? Here we are, you're a pretty little thing right enough, eh? Yeah. Where? What the hell you got on your back? Hey, it's okay, girl. It's okay. I'm going, I'm going, I tell you. I'm sorry, I didn't know. No, believe me, I'm sorry. No, stay still. No, stay right there, baby. Look, don't move. Please, don't turn around. Please. Oh, my
What in Christ could do a thing like that?
I told you, Johnny. You see, I told you. It happened. Planes come. It happened like so. Poof! Planes come. Napalm, G.I. I told you. Napalm. Fire burning. Boom! Napalm.
You see, I didn't know what it could do. I'd never seen anybody like that before. From the front, she was slim and smooth. Firm body and small girl's breasts. Beautiful. I just took her in my arms. I thought everything was going to be okay. My hand just touched her back and I felt this kind of roughness. An unbelievable roughness on a human body, like a kind of jagged plastic feel, not like skin, not like human skin at all. I couldn't think. I couldn't figure it out. I just knew that all the time she'd been trying to warn me. I just wanted to get out. I didn't want to know, but she was laughing at me. She just stood there naked, laughing at me. And then she turned around, gave it to me full on, still looking over her shoulder at me, laughing in that mad way. I didn't know the human body could tolerate that kind of scar. It was like her back was boiling. Like the flesh on her back was boiling and it had just been frozen like that. Her whole back was all purple and pink and a shiny hardness, all jagged and swirling. I barfed up my beers in the can and I ran out of the place. I never saw her again. I couldn't think straight. I must have been in some kind of shock. On the flight back to the carrier, I couldn't stop thinking about her. All I could see was her back and the way she sort of exhibited it to me, looking at me all the while, hating and despising me. As I sat there, I realized why I'd picked her out of all the other girls. She was just like me. She was a hater. By the time we reached the carrier, I was sick. I mean, physically sick. I had some sort of a fever. The doc shot me full of penicillin and told me not to report for duty for a few days, and that was fine with me. I lay on my bunk. I did a lot of thinking. Thinking about the girl and me, and how we were burning ourselves up with our hate. Something had to change. Also, I was glad to keep out of Fitz's way.
Lydecker, hey, come here, man. You have a good time?
Hey, old badass Lydecker, where you been, man? God, man, you look sick. You know that? Don't he look sick, Pasquale?
Yeah. Hey, you guys. I've been away, I told you. Saigon. Rest and recreation.
Don't look like you got much of either. Is this what happens to you when you get shore leave? Hell, man, you look practically green.
I don't feel so good. I don't know what those medics are pumping into me.
So, how was Saigon? Looks like the Kong attacked while you was there.
No, nothing like that.
I don't believe it. Lydecker, you dumb felt, you got a dose, didn't you?
You've been chasing Dink Snatch, boy, ain't ya?
I can't believe it. Cooper, I told him this story about the dude I know landed a dose in Manila.
No, it wasn't anything like that. There was a girl, and this girl...
You was grabbing ass, Lydecker. You was
no,
wrong.
Cooper, listen, listen, I gotta tell you, she was all kind of messed up.
No sweat, Lydecker. Different strokes for different folks.
You got me wrong. It was a back, you see. Her back was all kind of scarfed
her
up.
Her back? Wow, Lydecker. Well, if you ain't tried it, don't knock it, I guess.
Anyway, you come back too soon, man. You better keep out of Fitz's way. He still wants your ass on the line.
What? Oh, yeah. But listen, you guys, I gotta tell you about this girl. She was young, you see, real nice looking.
Yeah, sure she was, man. Some other time, okay? You look so bad, Lydecker. I think you ought to go someplace and just curl up and die. We'll tell Fitz you was killed in action from a dose you got in Saigon.
Got that canister set now, Cooper?
Yes, sir, Lieutenant. That's it secure. See, you're still dropping good old nape, sir.
Sure as hell I am. I'm carrying nape till I get my new Phantom. Promise I made to myself.
Glad to hear that, sir.
Ain't nothing in the world to beat this jelly, Cooper. Nothing. I tell you, it's gonna win us the war. Hell, I remember the original stuff wasn't so damn good. Just one mother and great fireball chucking hunks of burning petroleum jelly around every which way. What you might call crude and not so effective. But then some sharp scientist says, let's add some polystyrene to the jelly so that if a bit hits you now, it sticks. Splat. Like glue. No way you're gonna scrape it off, man. Bit if it hits a dink now and it sticks to him better than crap to a blanket. Trouble was, if the dink was fast enough and jumped into some water, it went out. Yeah. Stopped burning it. Now, that's no good here in Nam, what with all these dikes and paddy fields around. So some wise-ass chemist says, okay, let's add some white phosphorus to the recipe. And they did. And now, get this. The goddamn stuff will even burn underwater. Yeah, it sticks to you so you can't scrape it off. And you're burning so you jump into the nearest patch of water. And guess what? It goes right on blazing. Far out, right?
Yeah.
I tell you, those gooks ain't got a chance. Hell, you take care of those babies, Cooper.
Yes, sir, sure will.
A lot of thought's gone into them. A lot of hard work.
I was standing just behind the bulkhead when I heard Fitz talking to Cooper about the napalm. And when I heard him talking that way, I knew then for the first time that he had to die. That was the only way. I couldn't understand why I'd waited so long. Fitz was the guilty one, and he had to suffer. He had to suffer for what he did every time he took that plane up. Thing was, I had a problem. You see, I couldn't just shoot him or beat his brains out. It had to be done right. Or there went no point. It had to be done just right. I'd have liked him to fry in his own napalm. I mean, that would have been good. And maybe if I'd still been on the crew, I could have fixed that, but I couldn't do it now that he got me transferred. Back in Nam, they call it fragging. If the grunts don't like one of their officers say he's too hot and chasing his combat star, they just roll a grenade into his tent at night. It's harder to frag an officer on a carrier. And anyway, I wanted to be there when it happened. I wanted to see Fitz getting his. Took me some time to figure out a way. But then I thought about the can. I decided to use the beer can he throwed at me that night in the hangar. I liked the idea of wasting him with the beer can. Seemed just right. I was pleased with that. First thing I did was go down to the machine and tool rooms and get me a mess of metal scraps. Bolts, hinges, anything heavy. Then I ripped off some of the tubes of that rubber-based glue stuff. I filled the beer can with the metal scraps and some sand. Then I fired in the glue, stirred it up, and let the whole thing set rock solid. Must have weighed 5 or 6 pounds, but the main thing was that it was solid. Then I reported back for duty on the catapult maintenance crew and waited for my time to come around.
Hey, Pasquale.
What? Lydecker, man, you shouldn't creep up on me like that.
I'm sorry. Look, I want to ask you a favor.
A favor? Why? What do you want?
It's not much. I just want you to tell me the next time Fitz is lead plane on a mission.
Is that all? Why do you want to know?
Oh, no special reason. I just like to keep out of his way.
Okay, I'll tell you. Now beat it, okay? I'm busy.
Sure. Thanks, Pasquale. Thanks a lot. I owe you one.
Sure enough, Pasquale told me. It was good weather that day on the Yankee station. A bit of sun and a good fresh breeze. I saw the Crusader being towed into position on the catapult while the Chester B got up speed and turned into the wind. I saw the rescue helicopters lift off and take up their positions 100 yards out on each side of the carrier.
Mission launch station!
I could can see Fitz in the cockpit of the Crusader going through the final pre-takeoff checks.
Brakes engaged.
Shots away.
Bluebird leader on catapults. Tow strut.
He hauls his canopy down as I run up with the towing strut. I think he sees it's me, too. But I can't be sure, and anyway, I duck out of his line of sight and stand up close to the nose of the plane for a moment. I can only hear the roaring of the jets, and I see the blast deflectors come up behind the Crusader, and the plane itself is vibrating and shuddering as Fitz begins to turn up the afterburn. I give the old Crusader a bang with the flat of my hand, and then bend down and fit both ends of the towing cable to the nose wheel shackles and loop the middle over the towing block. I get on my knees to do this, and only the catapult officer can see me. I turn my back to him and slip the beer can out of my overalls, and I slot it into the recessed track of the catapult just in front of the towing block. It fits real neat. It's like a bolt in one of them crossbow things. You see, the way I had it figured, Fitz would have a normal launch until he reached the end of the catapult. There's a braking mechanism for the towing block under the deck that suddenly checks the momentum of the block and throws the plane forward into the air. The beer can would make this mechanism come into operation just that tiny bit too early, and the final impulse of the catapult would be lost. There are tons of pressure in those steam catapults, and there would be nothing left of the can when the towing block rammed it into the braking mechanism at the end of the catapult track. Nothing. Gone. Smashed into dust. But it would do its job. Fitz would get launched okay, but not in the way he was expecting. So I slot the can into the track. No one can see me. No one's looking anyways. I run back to my position, and I give the okay to the catapult officer.
Strut locked on, sir!
Fire system check!
Affirmative!
Full afterburn! Fire!
He checks with Fitz, who gives him a salute to say everything's fine. And then the cat officer crouches down on the deck and sweeps his arm forward to signal go. Fitz locks on full afterburn, and the seaman across the deck punches the black rubber button on the launch console. Bam! The catapult fires. Blasts the Crusader down the track. A tiny explosion as the can disintegrated. I only saw it because I was looking for it. Very small explosion, like a little puff of smoke. Yeah, but God, did it foul up things for the Crusader. Instead of being flung up into the sky, it went powering down a shallow slope into the sea. Went better than I ever expected. Imagine if you're running as fast as you can and you suddenly trip. Ain't nothing you can do about it, man. Nothing. And that's what it was like for Fitz. The Crusader hit the sea about 100 yards in front and to the left of the carrier. It was over in about 2 seconds. It hit the sea, engine still giving it full thrust with a goddamn giant splash. Just drove it under the waves. After the first splash, there was crazy bubbling water and some oil. But that was it. That was all. Nothing else ever came up. No sign of the plane. No sign of Fitz. He was gone, man. Gone. Well, they checked the catapult. Found it a bit scarred and warped at the end, but that was only to be expected. We stripped it down later, fixed a few things, put it back together. They had to abort the day's missions. The whole thing went down in the books as another malfunction. Like I told you, we was always getting malfunctions with them old cats. Tough and old Fitz, they said, what with his new Phantom doing a week, but hell, that's the fortunes of war. I believe they gave him a medal on account he was killed while flying a mission. We cruised around for an hour or so, waiting to see if any wreckage would show. I stood on the deck looking at the helicopters hovering above the oil slick, just in case something showed, but I knew there was no chance. It's real deep water on the Yankee Station. Real deep. I stood there on the edge of the deck looking at the waves. I felt like I was free, like I just got out of prison. Everybody around me was talking about the accident, but I wasn't hearing them. All I could think of was Fitz. Fitz. Fitz and his napalm at the bottom of the sea. How did I feel? I'll never forget how I felt that day on the Yankee Station. I felt real good. I felt strong and magnificent, I tell you. I felt like I wanted to bite the stars.
That was On the Yankee Station, adapted from his short story by William Boyd, with Peter Whitman as Lydecker and Keith Edwards as Fitz. Cooper was played by William Hope, Pasquale by Arturo Venegas, the Vietnamese girl by Mia Soteriu, and the Vietnamese barkeeper by Brian Smith. The play was directed by Richard Wortley.